let me bang.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang again, man.
I let you bang.
Let me bang.
I let you bang.
Greetings, Marys and Virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, forget Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfucker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Who the fuck is that? Welcome to the MMA Roasted podcast. Me, Adam Hunter. We're giving you three this week because we love you and because all my shows are getting canceled. And I feel like the need to actually be alive. I had a show. I had two shows tomorrow night. One at the Roosevelt in Hollywood with like some pretty big names. That got canceled. Another one I had in Downey. I had a show tonight online. They canceled that one. I had a show last night in Palm Springs got canceled. Like, it's crazy. With this virus, I mean, look, obviously, like, not poor me, but it's just crazy. Like, last week I was in San Francisco doing five shows, and I felt like a purpose. I felt alive. It was great to connect with people and see people laughing and happy and just loving it. And then now I'm just like,
Are these shows getting canceled because of COVID or just other issues?
Yes, 1,000% because of COVID.
Wow.
They're all getting canceled because of COVID. And then I was like, well, maybe I should have a show in my backyard. I have steps, I have a thing, but then I'm like, well, what am I bringing people into around my house that could have COVID around my wife and daughter? It's just like, is it worth it? And then, and those Zoom shows, when I was preparing for the hour, my hour, I was doing Zoom shows every night. And now I'm not, I'm doing a couple Zoom shows a week. It's just, those Zoom shows, they're not fun. I mean, they're fun seeing people laugh, but it's fun working out material, but it's not the same.
Yeah, it sucks.
You're not getting that real laughter. You know, you're seeing people laugh and happy and you're working out your material and it's forcing you to write. But I was doing an hour on Zoom a night and I think I have to go back to it. I have to force myself to do it. Tomorrow night I'm taking my kid to the Christmas lights. But I was saying, Shang, like I did shows in San Francisco last week and it just felt amazing. And then I had four shows this week canceled because of COVID.
Yeah, so did I.
And I'm like, well, maybe I'll just do a Zoom. The problem with the Zoom show is if I put the flyer out, I'll get the same 10 people that come to every week. But so then I have to DM everybody to come to the show. And it takes hours and hours. And then I feel like I'm a loser doing that. I feel like I'm like going back to barking, virtual barking. You know?
Yeah, from back in the day when we used to do comedy. Oh, but man. No, I did. I had two dates fall out on me. But I did the gig that I told you about, and it was awesome. It was awesome. The one I did Escondido, and crowds was great. It was sold out. It felt great. You know where your material, where you're like, bam, 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 yeah, back in the day. So now when I do, I haven't done as many Zoom shows because, I mean, I can riff. I can do Zoom shows. I don't have a problem with it. It's just that once you do a couple really, really good live shows, you remember and go, that's my superpower.
Of course, it's like going back to condoms. It's just not it's not fun.
That's an excellent. by the way, Wayne, that is the weirdest background you've had.
Thank you. The first person to comment on this background that excellent. I personally made in Photoshop. I've used this background many times.
By the way, Wayne, your Photoshop skills for the covers are epic.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Excellent.
You have a real talent, man.
Thank you.
And it's funny. I tweet out my thoughts pertaining to MMA and the different fights I watch. And it's so funny. Now, at the UFC, I guess Twitter just followed me. And they've been constantly, they actually, whoever's running it, comments on stuff.
Oh, nice.
And because my opinion on different fighters, I'm realizing I'm not alone in my thought process of when I watch fighters. Or my opinion about a fighter. Like I told you before when I got all that static.
Yes, Masvidal, right? You're gonna say Masvidal?
No, when I said Silva should retire.
Oh yes. Yeah.
And it was so funny, it was like both sides. People were like, oh, you're being an asshole, let the man fight. And then part of me was like, but isn't he in his 40? Like, I think he's 40 something. And I think there's a point where maybe they should have a Legends League like they did with Tyson. But I don't think he should be fighting these young, hungry motherfuckers. No,
you're absolutely right. Let's talk about that for a second, because so Yoel Romero got cut from the UFC. They didn't resign.
Right.
Which, you know, I have mixed feelings about this because he is in the top five. He's right there, and you could almost see him beating anybody. It's just a matter of whether or not he can pull the trigger, which he does sometimes. Sometimes he doesn't. So Bellator passed on him. I guess he was too young. For so Bellator, he passed on him. And now they're saying that he might go to Combate and fight Tito Ortiz in Combate, which people are very angry about this. Or they're like, other people are like, great, I want to see Tito get knocked out. I think Yoel would knock him out, but I could... Why?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Pulling this out for some reason. I mean, I could see Tito like winning a boring. If Yoel can't pull the trigger, like he, I mean, look, I don't know. I obviously I think Yoel would win this fight, but there's something, man. Tito just he surprised me. Granted, he fought, you know, Chuck Liddell. Now he fought
that wasn't even a fight. Stop it.
The other guy that wore a mask back in Pride that got arrested. What's that guy? That other guy's name was a pro wrestler. I'm sure. See, he hasn't really been fighting the, you know, the who's who lately. You know, I mean, not that Chuck isn't a who's who, but
he fought Chael Sonnen, which was a very suspect fight. If you remember that.
Yeah. And you're so right, Wayne. It was,
that was suspect.
I was at that fight. And I looked over at Josh Barnett and Don Fry, who were sitting there, and they were like, this was a fix. And maybe they'll deny saying that, but that was so strange.
Yeah.
That was, but I don't know. I don't see Chael throwing that fight against Tito. I just don't see why he would do that. I don't, you know, I mean, he doesn't need the money. He has an elevator in his house.
he's doing fine.
He's doing fine. I can't see him. I just can't see him. But then he makes a lot of bonehead moves in fight, like the Fedor fight where he went for that rolling submission when he was on top of him. He's done some things.
But Chael Sonnen always makes some bonehead move. He threw a spinning back fist with fucking Anderson Silva, one of the best at evading fucking hits.
Well, the part is that, like, that's not even one of his top five bonehead moves anymore. Like, normally that would be, like, your number one bonehead move. I don't even think that's in his top five.
Oh, fuck. Are you serious?
Well, I mean, kind of.
That's
I mean,
a good wrestler. I don't understand why a lot of times he hasn't used that, but.
Well, that first fight, the bonehead move of being in the fifth round and not staying away from him, he would have been the champ.
You're right.
That's also kind of. I don't know. But all right, let's talk about so Brandon Moreno this week is fighting Figueroa. I'm sure I butchered that again. Now, I didn't realize this. He wants to be the first Mexican-born champion. If he wins, he'll be the first champion from Mexico, born in Mexico, which is crazy because, you know, Cejudo is, I guess, Mexican-American. Cain Velasquez, you know, Mexican-American. They've had a lot of Mexican-American fighters. But
no Mexican fighters.
Yeah, actually born in Mexico. I don't even. That's kind of that's crazy. I mean, you know, like I would. Mexico produces amazing fighters. Usually better boxers because grappling has not been. You know, it's gotten much better. People from Mexico wrestling and grappling, but it seemed like boxing was. That's like if you're from Mexico.
Not, right. You're right. You know, but he's not going this weekend. He's going. He got such a fucking animal in front of him. I don't know if he's going to have a fucking chance. I really do. I mean, don't get it. He's a tough kid, but I think there's still not going to be a Mexican. Mexican. This fight, he's got that motherfucker is mean. He is mean, and he throws hands. He's really a beast.
Dude, at my special, Moreno was there, and I was noticing there was like 10 guys around him, and they were all from Tijuana. Like, I'm like, what, did you guys all come in the same car? I was just fucking with them. Over They were all dying laughing. Nicest guys. Moreno had like 20 guys with him to help coach him.
Wow.
Yeah, Moreno, I mean, and all like badass fighters, like legitimately, like, I don't even know their names. They were all either former UFC guys or top level right. guys. Now, Tony Ferguson, can we bring up this interview, Joe?
Sure, where's that?
I posted it on my Twitter. Tony Ferguson, I love I love weight cutting Tony Ferguson. It's a different animal. Tony Ferguson, when he's the kind of guy that he does not take shit from anybody. I mean, he squared up with Verdum and told Verdum, I'm going to ankle pick you. Now, I was at a party with Verdum at the Mike Tyson Ranch. He is a big, scary dude. Like, and he's as nice as he is. He's a guy you look at, you're like, I'm not fucking with that guy. Like, I would never, not that I would fuck with anybody, but that's a guy you don't fuck with. You look at his ears right away, and you're like, and you look at him and his flat nose, and the guy was a fucking UFC champion, Strikeforce champion, I believe.
Yeah.
At heavyweight. And Ferguson, who fights at 155, just was like, fuck it, let's do this. Like, Ferguson's fucking, and he believes it. There's no doubt in my mind that Ferguson, for 1 second, believes he can't beat up Verdum, he's just a.
But I think you. I think that he's always been a cuckoo, and I like. But I know this sounds fucked up, but I actually like his crazy.
Oh yeah, because it's you know, he's yeah, of course, because he's also one of those dudes that like, if he likes you, he fucking likes you, and you could tell he's not, like he's sort of one of the guys. I don't think he's not a bully. He's not looking for a fight. But if somebody steps with him, he's going to, can we put the video up?
Turn on screen sharing and then I'll put it up. I have it.
Screen share. Yeah. Cause this is like one of the funniest things that I've seen in a while, by the way. So this is Tony Ferguson. Here we go. All right. Volume.
Yeah. Can't hear it.
You can't hear it?
No.
All right. Let's try again.
Can't hear it. But I mean, I think that he, even though Gaethje gave him the business, he was still like, "Come on, Justin, get up off that fucking stool. Let's go, let's go."
Yeah, of course, he was still in that fight. I mean,
he's not. Not only is he had that attitude, he really is not to be fucked with. He does some amazingly strange. His ground game is strange. Sometimes on his feet, his elbows are like. Like he's hit you with razors. No bullshit. I looked at a picture of a bunch of people that fought him. Their face looked like mush.
Yeah, he's a badass fighter. And even in the fights he's, I don't think he's ever been knocked out. Maybe early in his career, I don't think so. I mean, he's been hurt, obviously. His last fight, he was hurt. But he's also one of those dudes that, like, he also hurt Gaethje a couple times. I mean, I thought he was going to finish Gaethje. And that also was a fight where he hadn't fought in a while, and
right
back, and you know, we'll see. Can you that little volume there, right there?
Yeah, it's up all the way. I just don't know why it's not playing on the share screen.
Oh, you could hear it.
I can't hear it.
Yeah, neither. I can't hear it either.
I don't know why it's doing that.
All right, can you find another thing where it says like Tony Ferguson interview?
Yeah, I'm gonna stop sharing for right now.
Yeah.
But if you look at any fighter knows that if they, like, I watch the interviews, and any fighter knows that you're in a fucking fight with him.
Oh yeah. 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 And you know, I like that he told Oliveira, if you miss weight, the fight's off, because Oliveira is known to miss weight. And I like that. I think more fighters should say that, but look, don't think you're going to come in here overweight. Cause I think some fighters, they just say, you know what? I'm 3-4 pounds. Fuck it. They just stop. They know they're still going to get paid for their fight. They give up their purse. They won't get a bonus, but they'll still have the win. And I liked it. He said, no, man, fight's off. So good on him for doing that. And good on him for doing that like 5 days earlier, too. He didn't wait till the last day to, you know.
Right.
You know, he gave him enough.
Because he's like, I'm busting my ass to do the shit. And there's a lot of people busting their ass to make weight. It's a fucked up thing that sometimes to make weight, but still, if anything, I respected him more. I was like, okay, dude, I'm with you on that. But I think the UFC likes people who are game. Like, I don't care. Let's go. And I think that him standing next to his, you know, what he feels is some good shit. I mean, in my opinion.
So now they're saying that it might actually happen in Bellator. Jake Paul versus Dylan Dennis. They want to do boxing and MMA fight. That's Scott Coker saying. So they're going back and forth. Those calls happening for a year. Dylan would like to fight him. do they have to go to boxing? Why don't you go to MMA? Yeah, I kind of think it should be MMA. Jake Paul actually has a wrestling background. And I think that, I think Dylan kind of easily beats him because he'll just get him to the ground and that'll be it. But, man, I want to see that fight.
But isn't Floyd Mayweather fighting
Logan Paul?
Logan Paul, his brother. Boxing.
I mean, Logan said he thinks I heard an interview yesterday. He thinks he can win. He's got a 50-pound weight advantage. And, you know, he's 25 or 24. The other guy's 43. He still has zero chance. Zero chance.
Really?
He's got zero chance. I mean.
No. I agree with you. I just feel like I think he doesn't realize, even though he's cocky and I like that, you don't realize who the fuck you're getting in there with.
He does. And he's looking at it like, I'm going to make $20 million. And if I lose, I lost to the best fighter of our generation, possibly one of the top three of all time. He's got and I'm 0-1 as a boxer, and now the whole world's going to tune in. It's a win-win for him.
I think that Floyd is it's a money grab for Floyd, but they said there was a story about 50 Cent who outweighs him by 50 pounds, and 50 yeah. Cent's a monster. I mean, I've seen this thug incarnate, and I'm telling you right now, flat out. 50 was like, yeah, man, we started boxing, you know, on some real shit because they were arguing over money. And he said that he said, me and Floyd start boxing. People forget Floyd can throw hands still. And he said, and I woke up the next day.
Come on. Really?
Really?
He said that?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean, I think people don't realize that when you get even Conor McGregor, when he was fighting Floyd, he uppercutted Floyd, and Floyd looked like he took the punch and just kept coming.
Well, he knows how to roll. I mean, he's the best defensive boxer of all time. And he's fighting a guy who's 0-1 as a boxer, who's never – it's going to be a farce, a complete mismatch. Now, I mean, Logan Paul's best – his best case scenario is Floyd doesn't train at all. He comes in out of shape. He doesn't give a fuck. He's like, I'm not sparring. You know, he's smoking weed all day. Because, you know, like.
And that's not his nature, though.
Maybe he catches the worst possible version of Floyd Mayweather. I don't think that's not Floyd. Floyd's a competitor. And I think he knows how many people are going to watch it. And I can't believe this is happening. I feel like this is like. It's just the whole thing is like.
Well, you know what they're going to start doing? I don't know if it's true. And Ween, you can, because you're smart.
Yeah.
You can tell me. They're going to start matching up more UFC and MMA fighters with boxers. They're actually going to start the process of having more because when the MMA fighters get a bigger payday, which is good for them, and I'm all about them getting more money. And also, there's a lot of boxers that's like, yeah. There's a lot of people in the UFC that they feel like if you came over to my shit, now if I came over to your shit, you'd beat my ass. But don't think you can come over to my shit and I won't knock you out.
Yeah, and I don't mind that. I do mind that, like, because at least MMA fighters train in boxing and stuff, you know, and you could say that, like, that's a boxing is an element, is one of the mixed martial arts in mixed martial arts. It's when the Nate Robinsons come over, the Logan Pauls, it's sort of the same thing with comedy. I mean, you're just getting – it becomes a complete sideshow. Now, do I hate it? It makes for good jokes. I'm going to watch it. Like I said, you know, I don't think it's good for the sport. Mike Tyson said that YouTube stars are saving boxing, and I think that that's – I think it's bullshit. What would save boxing is if greedy promoters – if they just had one fucking belt, you know, when you have six belts for each weight class, you're going to ruin boxing because the best guy is not going to fight each other. That's just because what's going to happen. There needs to be one belt, one belt. That's it. And I understand it's a union thing and this and that, and they get paid more because.
But no, the UFC has interim belts, an interim belt and the real belt.
Yeah, right. But that's because an interim belt because someone got injured or something. They don't have like the interim belt because they just have the interim belt. I'm talking about like a WBC belt.
Oh, right, right. Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
That belt. It's just too many belts, you know? Now, you could say, well, the MMA could get to that point if Bellator got on the same level as the UFC, then you're like, well, the best fighters aren't fighting each other because you have Bellator and you have the UFC. But that has not been the problem so far. So that being said, Bellator is making some pretty big moves. Anthony Johnson going to Bellator is a huge deal. Huge. Right. I don't even know if he's going to be heavyweight or light heavyweight, but
they said light heavyweight, 205.
Wow. I think he's better off at heavyweight. I mean, Ryan Bader is the heavyweight champion in Bellator right now.
Yeah.
Anthony Johnson knocked him out in 30 seconds. I don't know why he wouldn't go to heavyweight. I mean, I think he's got a lot more of a, I mean, that Nemkov, right? Is it Nemkov?
Yeah.
That kid is a lot. He just beat Ryan Bader easily.
Yeah.
Fuck him up. I mean, if I was Anthony Johnson, I would stay at heavyweight. I mean, he was a power lifter. You see how fucking big he got?
Yeah, but I mean, I think sometimes, like, I was watching a couple of interviews where some people just want they want to be in with the people that really can go. Like, they really want to fight the best of, yeah. And maybe the heavyweight doesn't have as much. Like, look at UFC's heavyweight. There's not a lot of people in the heavyweight division that you can really, that are a draw.
Well, I'll tell you what, John Jones at 240 looks scary. He's on some type of weight program, and I'm not going to make the obvious.
You were going to say it. I know you were. Yes, you were.
I mean, but man, John Jones at heavyweight, that's a scary dude right there. Because if he could retain the same speed and the skill, man, I mean, we'll see. We'll see. I want to see it because right now, Stipe versus Jones, I mean, I want to see him go fight Ngannou. If he could beat Ngannou at heavyweight, oof. That's the fight to make. I think before I guess you got to make.
Are you serious? It's Stipe. It's Stipe all the way.
It's Stipe because you got the 205 champion versus the heavyweight champion, right? But Ngannou versus him, come on. How crazy would that be? That fight, Phil Davis.
No, you're no. That's no. It's Phil. What happened? Oh,
he's good acting.
Yeah,
I am a, because after Stipe fought Cormier, which I just feel like Stipe deserves the biggest fights that he can get.
Of course.
I think the biggest fight for Stipe would be Jones, but it just seems like the UFC, they go with popular, I get it, but it's like you should, there's certain guys that deserve it, and they really should, and they prove themselves. I just tweeted the thing about Glover, where I think that he deserves a shot.
Oh, yeah.
I think he deserves a shot. There's certain people that deserve a shot. And I think sometimes in UFC, where they go for the hype, where they want Stylebender to fight Jones, it's like, yo, there's other people that should get a shot first.
We'll see. Now, Phil Davis, are you with us?
I'm here.
What's going on? You look very black right now.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. And you're,
by the way, so me and Phil just we shot a sketch. I can't really talk about it, but it was one of the funniest things ever. It was funny. So one of the people in the sketch didn't have an afro, had an afro, and they bailed out because of COVID. So Phil was in the sketch too. So I'm like, Phil, do you have a fake afro? And he goes, a fake afro? I'm black. I can grow a real afro. Like, why the fuck would I have a fake afro for? I was like, that's a very good point. So Phil, how are you, man? Hello.
He's muted.
An afro wig.
Yeah, and the afro wig apparently muted his shit. No,
here we go. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Now, how are you, man?
Good. How do I turn my camera on in this thing?
Joe, Weendog, can you help us?
I don't know. There's normally like a picture at the bottom of the screen of a video. I'm not sure what the mobile version of Zoom.
Yeah, I know the computer version of Zoom. I never do it on the phone. So,
all right. Well,
but it's so funny that you agree, but you don't agree. You're like, yeah, this guy should fight this guy, but Adam, you got to admit.
No, absolutely. Look, you got, anytime you have two champions wanted to fight each other, you make that fight, 100%.
Make that fight, exactly. So but you don't slide somebody in because they, you know.
No. But just as a selfish fan, I would almost rather see John Jones versus Ngannou than John Jones versus Stipe, just because I want to see how if he can deal with that power. I think that Stipe and him are more similar fighters, John Jones and Stipe, where they don't have like one punch knock. Well, they do have one punch knock power, but they're more like a. I mean, I don't know. I just want to see that fight. It'd be a cool fight to watch. Phil, do you think John Jones can beat Ngannou at heavyweight?
There we go.
There he is.
Aha.
Yeah.
Do I think Mr. Jones can beat Ngannou at heavyweight? Ooh, that's a tall order. But, you know, it's never been about, with John Jones, it's never been about power. It's always been about tactics and techniques. He has a good way of using his length and his abilities to work in his favor, you know, more so than I've seen other guys do. So, he definitely stands a great chance, but that's a tall order.
Yeah.
And with a guy like Ngannou, he really only needs to get you once.
Yeah. I think he's one of those people that, you know, that even if you're winning the first round, anytime he touch you, it could be over. Like, whereas really some people, you don't think that. Like other people, you go, they'll have to piece the person up for a while, piece him up. With him, you go, if he touch you once, it's natty nighttime.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could you imagine Ngannou was like a body puncher, though? Good God, man.
Oh, man. Did you watch the Tyson fight?
I saw highlights. I did not order it.
I did not order that shit. It made me sad.
Well, everyone's obviously talking about the Nate Robinson debacle versus Jake Paul. He got flatlined.
Yep. Saw that.
Man, that was rough. That was rough.
No, it wasn't. It was as it should be. He should have got knocked the fuck out. Are you kidding me?
You know, Adam, I told you. We talked about this.
Yeah.
And he said, "Well, what do you think?" You know, Nate Robinson's no chump athletically. And I'm like, listen, people have been sleeping on Jake Paul. He's not a boxer. He's not a boxer by any stretch. But he's actually a not bad athlete, and he picked it up pretty good, and he's been using his hands. He's not bad
right.
to fight the caliber of people he's fighting. I mean, he's – if you don't have, like, a boxing background, he's pretty solid. He's pretty good.
Now, him and Ben Askren are going at it in a boxing match. Who do you think wins?
I still give the edge to Ben Askren in a boxing match.
Yeah, if it's MMA, it's yeah, over.
But I mean, just because of the more sparring and he's just been around.
More time in the game, yeah.
Yeah. Now, what about him versus Dylan Danis?
Danis would kill him.
In the boxing?
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
It would be like pistol whipping a baby. It would just be.
I don't know, man. I mean,
come on, Adam. You're out of your. He would absolutely wreck him.
Have you seen Dennis' stand up? It's not that impressive.
It's not that good. It doesn't matter. Hey,
but check me out. When have you seen Dylan Danis' stand up versus a guy who really is not a professional fighter?
But he's been doing it 5-6 days a week for 3 years. Training.
That's not a lot of time. That's not a lot of time.
Under Sugar Shane Mosley and Big Bear, whereas the other guys like focusing on mixed martial arts. You know, he's doing grappling. One, you know, he's doing wrestling. He's not just solely focusing on boxing. But
I don't know about that, man. I think that Mr. Paul would end up getting.
I would hope so. I'm not rooting for.
Oh yeah, you yeah.
So put it like this. Look who Dylan Danis trains with on a regular basis, and I don't know who Jake Paul trains with, but you know, I tend to think that the reason why we haven't seen much of his stand-up is because he goes against strong fighters all the time in training, and when he gets in the fight, he's guaranteed to have the upper hand in the grappling. So why not just hurry up and wrap it up and grappling.
Yeah,
when you get to a guy who has about the same level of experience or less, you'll see a lot more of his stand-up, you know?
Yeah.
Right. Now, by the way, so that was one of the most fun nights I had. I was hanging out with Phil, a couple other guys. We went out for dinner afterwards. First of all, I had no idea you own a sandwich shop.
You didn't know.
That was, I mean, you and your wife, your beautiful wife. So her, she's part Korean, right?
Korean Mexican.
She's Korean Mexican. Her Korean grandparents owned the sandwich shop. Her parents.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave you the sandwich shop.
Well, we kind of bought it.
Okay, but, so you bought it. Yeah. So,
yeah.
So
yeah, but you know what though? I will say we didn't pay what it was worth. Right. So I really take it more as a gift than a purchase.
So how do you still have an 8-pack if you're around sandwiches all day? Like, how are you not, like, how does that happen?
Man, it's two things. You just can't, like, I just have a lot of time just being an athlete. You know, people ask, like, how do I, uh-oh, get out of here. Oh, somebody tried to call. You there?
Yep.
Man, I'm getting all sorts of interruptions. My options are selling. I mean, I got Robin Hood's trying to tell me about stuff. People calling. God, dog. Let me have a Zoom.
Right.
Yeah, but what was
it? Man, let me Zoom.
Let me Zoom, bro. Let me Zoom.
Now, have you ever run a business before? Like, is that hard to run a sandwich business?
Yeah, I mean, business is difficult. A restaurant of any kind is difficult. So January will be 40 years of Hungry Hank's Deli. And so taking over a business is a little bit easier than starting one.
Right.
But it definitely has different challenges that starting a business wouldn't have, such as, you got to be careful with, 40 years, we have such a dedicated customer base. They've been around, they grew up eating our sandwiches. You just mentioned our name and West Chula, and, you know, people know who we are. So you can't do things too dramatically. You change the price too dramatically. Hey, yo, what did y'all come for? Open this? Are y'all doing this? So you got to, you got to, like, take your time with anything.
Now, Phil, I'm a little nervous because remember, like, in Rocky, what was it, Rocky IV, Apollo, or what was it? Maybe it was Rocky I or II. Anyway, Apollo was looking for fights, but he was talking about his stocks and his trades. So now I'm talking to you and your Robin Hood accounts, and you got like crypto, and you got your deli shop, but yet you're still like the number two or three guy in Bellator, or number one guy. I mean, you're right there. Mm-hmm. Is there a little bit of dangerous of you becoming too much of a businessman and being distracted?
Well, I guess I would pose the question back to you. How long was I doing this before you knew?
Good point. That's a good point.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. All right. But I'm just saying, like, you know, we still have to have the fighter feel, like the angry, the mean, like the fucking the focused guy, you know, like, I don't want.
Oh, absolutely.
Like,
absolutely.
No. You've not, like, as long every interview, every time I've seen you on anything, you're not like that. When it comes to fighting, you do
nah.
what you need to do. And you don't necessarily need to hate the motherfucker. Like, you don't need to be like, I hate this motherfucker. I'm going to call you your mom name. Your mom was over at my house and the slippers were under my bed, bitch. You don't have to do all that. you just it's a skill.
Yeah. You know, it helps me because I think having that attitude really helps me because, you know, instead of making something fictitious or even, you know, creating some drama that doesn't even need to be, I just tell, like, you know, hey, God bless you. I hope you do well, but I am going to whoop you. You know, that's just how I, you know, because no matter what, I take it as a very, I take it very personally. Like, it's never about the guy in the cage or, you know, how he's training, what he's doing. Is he up in the Big Bear doing this or that? No, I have my system down and I'm going to perform. I have my goals, my checklist, the things that I need to have done as I prepare, get ready to go and fight. And especially right now, there's so much downtime, you know, yeah. You know, I'm not going outside to do too much of anything.
Right.
So why wouldn't I, use my time to, you know, just be more. If we were talking about athletics and I said, yeah, you know, after I leave the gym, I come home and I do crunches, I do push-ups, this and that. You'd be like, oh, okay, that's cool. Well, I also do those things, but I also, you know, have found ways to utilize my time to maximize my money.
I love it. Yep. Good for you, man.
Money's not the motivator. Money is just not my motivator. A lot of guys are like, oh, you know, money is it. Not. You know, when you come from wrestling, no one goes into wrestling to be famous. No one goes into wrestling for the girls. Nobody goes into wrestling for money. And I just do this because it's fun and I enjoy it. And that's just always been my way to attack it. You know, once it becomes these external things, then you can get sidetracked. If you're in it for the girls, then you get a hot chick. And then now what are you doing it for?
Right. And I get clowned for this all the time, but GSP is one of my favorite fighters of all time. Period. Right. If you notice, GSP, he rarely got mad. I can't think of any time where I seen him get mad. He always was chill and like it was about the fight. It wasn't about a lot of shit talking. But there's a lot of guys now that are getting shots because of their shit talking and they can't back it up, other than Conor McGregor, because Conor McGregor did back up his shit talking.
Yeah. Did.
No, he did. I feel the same way, man. Like my entire life, going from wrestling to stand-up comedy, it's always been about things that I just love doing, and I'll do it for free. So
yeah, exactly.
I really appreciate you thing, and I do it for free. So still,
absolutely. If you didn't do it for free, then you don't know. Like, wrestling, I did 100% for free. I didn't even know college was an option. I didn't even know you can get a college scholarship wrestling. I was just wrestling because it was fun. Yeah. And then later on, you know, in terms of fighting, you know, the UFC, the MMA scene, Bellator didn't even exist. So, you know, the idea that I thought that I could make a living doing it, you know, I knew some guys that were doing it and making good money, but I mean, the sport wasn't what it was, wasn't what it is now back then.
Well, what I like about you, man, is that I honestly, well, number one, you're a good friend of mine, but I also really think that you're going to be the champion again. Like, I like know. Now, your division did get a lot harder in the last month.
Yeah, we got two nice signings.
Anthony Johnson and Corey Anderson. Those are tough guys. Now, do you want your revenge on Johnson?
I wouldn't call it revenge, but you don't just get a win over me and think I forgot about it. No. No, no. No, no.
I love that. No, I was saying I think he should go to heavyweight because he knocked out the heavyweight champion in 10 seconds. Bader, you know, I think you're frozen.
It did freeze.
Either that or he just farted really. Okay, here we go. So, okay. I'm surprised he's actually going to 205 because
I was surprised as well.
He got so good bodybuilding, you know?
He was huge.
I mean, now, Nemkov, which is a very close fight against you that you had, you know you could beat that guy. I know you could beat that guy. Were you surprised how easily he beat Ryan Bader?
Man, definitely was surprised how quickly and how easily the fight went for him. I mean, you know what? It really seemed like, and I don't want to make excuses for anybody, but it just seemed like Bader had, it obviously wasn't his day, but it just seemed like some other things were just wrong. He was just off, you know?
Right.
As I was watching the fight, I saw him go for his long hook slash jab punch that he does that he knocked out three guys at heavyweight with. Man. I'm watching, and like Nemkov clearly watched his tape, and Nemkov hit him with his own joint. I'm like, what is going? What am I watching? Like,
he turned his back a couple times. I went, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, yeah.
It was one of those things where I watched and was like, what's up with you? Like, but you never know. It could be a whole bunch of shit going on that we don't know about. But he really looked like he didn't want to be there.
Well, I feel like also Bader has always been a bully. And if you could beat him in the first round, you could beat him. because I don't, I don't think he's ever actually come back and won a fight. It seems like every time he's lost the first round, he's lost a fight.
So right.
He's a, probably the kind of the guy that gets in his own way, where if you could mentally just beat him that first round, you could win, you know?
Right.
But Bellator is making, like, I feel like Bellator, even though UFC is doing a lot of cuts, Bellator is making some serious moves, and hopefully they'll make moves when it comes to advertising so we fucking know when they're on.
They're the worst. I mean, it's like, make a commercial. Just have somebody tell people when it, like, I mean, Bellator is like finding out like a girl has like the most perfect vagina, but you didn't think it was going to happen. You know, like you take her home, you're like, wow, this is a lot tighter than those. But I'm saying, like, you know what I'm saying? Like you just, but
that was a weird analogy.
That was weird.
You know what? I thought you were going to say, I really did. And I was like, yeah, that, it kind of seemed like that. I thought you were going to say like, oh, it's like finding out that like a, you know, old friend had a kid. You're like, what? You had a kid when? Like right. that, like
all right,
you I didn't know you go with the tight vagina.
Okay, fine. All right, but you know, like
how did you
okay, fine. Okay, to vagina? maybe not a tight vagina. Okay, maybe a girl gives really good head. Like all of a sudden, you're like, where the fuck?
Still in the same.
Okay, I'm just saying, like you're like, where did that come from? Like you know how like some chicks will surprise you. They'll do the whole like double, you know, the whole.
Yes. Okay. So okay, you when you gave the visual, but I mean, I think that Bellator is making moves, and think about it. Even though they are weird when they're how they advertise, they still everybody still talks about Bellator.
Yeah, but imagine how much they would talk about them if they actually saw the fights. You know?
No, I think people watch the fight. Like a lot of the fights I've watched, I watched the prelims.
Yeah, but they don't even know what. Like, is it on? I have DAZN because I don't know how to cancel it. so like I watch all of them on DAZN. Phil is really frozen right now. Oh, Phil's gone.
Oh yeah.
Hold on. So I'll watch it on DAZN, which I don't even know why I'm paying $20 a month for DAZN. To be
honest. It's $20 a month.
Yeah, it was like 10 when I bought it, and one day it just shot up to 20 without even telling you or even asking you if you still want to like. So
why don't you just okay, forget it.
Because it's easier than having to like go to YouTube and then Bellator.com. And then CBS Sports. Like, I don't, like, that's fucking annoying to me to have to, like, it's like a choose your own adventure fucking thing. Like, when you were a kid, like, what? How many things do I have? I have to go to you, and or they'll have like a 9-hour intermission for a fight, or they'll,
yeah,
like,
and you'll see the countdown. But I once I find out about it, I do watch, I've been watching one. More than I have been watching anything else. I really
one,
do
one
like
is good, but like Bellator will be like, they'll stop the fight and be like, this comes back next Thursday. We're going to pick up round three in the middle of the fight. They'll tell you to come back in like 2 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you, but you got to admit Bellator and well, we'll see in a minute because Bellator where it is still like a little brother of the UFC.
Yeah, a little brother that like you never see.
That lives in the basement, and you know he's there, but you never see him. He's kind of.
Where did Phil go? Tell Phil to come back.
Oh, he was. It dropped out. It went black, which it should have. And no, it went black, and then he just dropped. But
I'll give you a perfect example. Do you know what the next Bellator card is, Shang?
No, I kind of got to search for it.
Tonight, it's in 3 fucking hours. Okay? that is my point. Okay.
No, you're right. I got to admit, don't get me wrong. The UFC fights are great, but I really do. I watch
Bellator match tonight and nobody knows about it. Phil, okay. I know that you're wearing a Bellator hat. Tell them to fucking.
I'm back.
Tell them to advertise.
Oh, man. Yo.
Bellator is, their advertising is about as good as your stream right now. Like seriously.
Oh man.
But they got first great fighters.
First of all, let me explain what just happened, yo. I told you my phone's been bugging. It's been wild. My phone just cut off right in the middle and said, "Your phone is too hot. You can use it after the temperature cools down."
Oh,
I was like,
God.
Yo,
how many steroids are you taking right now? That your phone pisses hot.
That my phone is that hot.
Yeah, like fuck.
Oh man.
But you got to admit, Bellator. Even the fighters that are going to Bellator, from UFC and whatever else you want to call it, that people still talk about Bellator.
Oh, they have great everywhere. Fighters. They have
look, great fighters.
Phil Davis, Antonio McKee, MVP, the guy we just talked about, the Russian dude we just talked about. I mean,
Nemkov.
Nemkov, I think, is probably the one of the best.
Where are you going?
I mean, they have great. Adrian McKee, I think you could argue, is the best 45er in the world.
If you're me, but, if you're walking down this store.
How you just gonna forget the Pitbull Brothers?
Pitbull Brothers. By the way, Don Fry just showed up.
I think he butt dialed us.
Don Fry has no idea he's on the fucking podcast right now. Don, are you here?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, you hear me talking to my dealer?
Don, is there any way we could get video on here?
Shit, I don't know, partner. Probably not.
At least there's no like internet delay when he's just using his phone.
Are you calling from a payphone?
Yeah, how do you know?
So you're here with Phil Davis, by the way, NCAA champion.
What's going on, Mr. Fry?
Star, top number one.
Yeah. NCAA in tennis. Congratulations.
Yeah, yeah. Did you ever meet Don Fry, Phil?
No, maybe a very long time ago. I think I have, but if, I mean, I think I was like just in the line getting autographs. You don't remember? I'm sure.
In the line getting autographs. Where was this?
It was I want to say it was around a UFC event in Las Vegas.
I bet you don't have to wait in line for an autograph now, though, do you, partner?
Not too many.
Now somebody said that Don came to Alliance one day and was training with Dominic Cruz, just boxing, light boxing. Don then kicked him in the head. And then Cruz said, "What are you doing?" And you said, "Always be ready." Is there any truth to that, Don Fry?
You know what? He tried telling me that stuff, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago, too. I don't remember it. I'm too nice of a guy to do shit like that. Come on. How could you even question me?
I don't know. I kind of believe it.
All I'll say is that I hope to God that story actually happened. I really do.
I guess he wasn't a Boy Scout, was he?
All right. Now, tonight, there's a Bellator card. Alimaleh McFarlane is fighting Juliana Vasquez. Alimaleh is actually the favorite. I mean, the underdog. She's never lost. Hawaiian girl, the other girl's never lost either, though. But I can't believe she's an undefeated champion and she's the underdog.
Wow.
Oh, she's that real beautiful girl, isn't she?
Yeah, the one from Hawaii.
God, she's gorgeous. She's gorgeous.
Did you ever sleep with any Hawaiians, Don?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I understand that you were quite busy down there on that one transvestite street, though, right?
Yes. I was.
Adam loves the trannies.
Yes, you can't take tranny anymore. Anyway, so, well, there goes our sponsor. Phil, any thoughts about this fight, McFarlane versus Velasquez?
Thank you, man. I don't know how underdog. I'm Team Limalay all day. She just man. So I think my personal opinion. I feel like a woman with a good armbar is very hard to stop. I don't think women have like the must really fight it off. Like a girl who has a good armbar, you got a done deal.
Hey, Don, by the way, when you talk to someone else, we can still hear you, just so you know. All right.
I was talking to you.
Oh, thanks. Okay. Also on this card, Magomed Magomedov. Do you think that if your last name, they would just call you like Phil Magomedov? Like he put the same, or at least go all the way, Magomedov, right? Like, why drop the OV? Anyway, it doesn't matter. taking on Mateus Matos. Both these guys are like 14-1. Both of them only have one loss on their record, which is to Petr Yan. So this is crazy because, you know, you would think Bellator would save these guys. Like they're just they're already giving them like the toughest fights are gonna be against each other.
But don't you think that's good that they're giving them tough fights? Don't you think that by giving them the tough fights, you know where they're really fucking at. I think you can fight the toughest motherfucker out there because then you know what your level is.
Yeah, Chang, I think you're absolutely right. I just wish they were more consistent with it.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Okay. But I like to see when they put the hard rock against hard rock. I'd rather see that because after they fight, you go, okay, now we know what's up with, even though 14-1, ooh, that's going to be, yeah.
Phil, who was your toughest fight, Phil?
Who do I think my tough fight was?
Your toughest fight.
Your toughest out of all the fights.
Well, I feel compelled to say a guy I lost to. Rashad Evans was he was one of those guys that's just very solid all the way around.
Hey, Don, I love you, brother.
You're
like my favorite guest. Are you ordering food right now?
No, trying to figure out this phone.
Is it a new phone?
Yeah, it's a new phone. Yeah.
All right.
Saying Rashad out of all the fights, Rashad would be the one because he's Rashad in his day to me was beast mode. He was definitely beast, but did you say he was tough because of that?
Yeah.
Yeah, because his wrestling was no joke.
Phil, no offense, but I thought you were gonna win that fight.
Didn't we all?
I remember you telling me before that fight, and you were like, man, Rashad's gonna call me out, but I don't want to beat him up because I like the guy.
I do like him.
Do you think that maybe you were like too nice or didn't take him or didn't take him as seriously as you should have?
No, 100%. You don't get your a title eliminator with a UFC former UFC champion and not take that fight serious. No, I was giving him my full attention, 100%. It came down to this. 2008, I was wrestling in college, and he was already in the UFC climbing his way to the belt. Yeah. And by the time I fought him in 2011, there's really very few sports where you start a sport brand new and be in the mix for a number one contender spot within 3 years.
It's tough.
Man, I was just going too fast. I accelerated past where my experience from day one. My very first fight in the UFC, I was 4-0 versus former world champion Brian Stann, who had been. I mean, he'd been a world champion back. I used to watch him from my dorm room in college on Spike TV.
Wow.
You know, like I didn't have enough time in the game to beat a guy as crafty and as veteran as him.
Now, were you always, because I feel like you're always the best guy in the room. Because I know you're wrestling, guys can't match your wrestling. So was it hard to find guys that would beat, like, did anybody ever beat you up in practice?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Who?
All the time. Well, for starters, I ended up in San Diego because I was doing a training camp in Pennsylvania, and Dominic Cruz came in town, and he goes, "Hey, bro, you got to train with my boy Brandon Vera." I was like, "All right, yeah, whatever. He's a big guy. I'll train with him." So I fly out to San Diego and I train with him, and he's a decent wrestler. He did a lot more Greco, and so he can hang in wrestling, jiu-jitsu. Really good jiu-jitsu artist, and Stan, he's a great Muay Thai fighter. So I just got, for like probably the first 2 years, I barely got a lick in. Really? I was just getting beat up left and right, and that was, I mean, for me, just having like a 2 week trip out and getting beat up by a guy, I was like, that's perfect. That's where I need to be. I need to be with somebody who can beat me up 4 days a week.
So you're not the kind of guy that would, because I remember when I wrestled in wrestling camp, I went to Iowa wrestling camp, Dan Gable's camp, and I was coming as like a state champ, and I got the living shit beat out of me, and I like trashed my room, cried like fucking. I mean, I was like 14, but I was so, like, my whole world was upside down. was that like kind of how you were at all, or if you were kind of used to being like the nail sort of versus the hammer?
You know, if you're, you know, and this is why I like to take the approach of, you know, not necessarily the animosity approach, but when your goal is getting better, then I appreciate when I lose because I have so much opportunity to learn and to get better and to figure out what the other guy is doing. If my goal is to beat this guy up and be angry at him, well, then hell, then you don't really get much from losing. All you do is get angry.
Right.
So that's really, I mean, that's, you have a very developed sense of maturity. I mean, like, I mean,
but well, I mean,
even like Penn State, that was the case too.
Oh yeah. I mean, don't get me, for some reason, wrestling is more painful than it really should. Like, people ask me like, oh, how can you fight? I was like, I wrestled. That's painful. And man, wrestling, my coach told me, he was like straight up, he's like, man, I don't think you're going to get a takedown before the end of freshman year. I was like, God, dog, are y'all that good? Are y'all really that good here? Like, a takedown in practice? He's like, yeah, man, you won't take me down before the end of your show. I was like, oh, my God.
Well, oh, my God. Sunshine, what the fuck was that?
What's that?
Right?
I'm just like, God damn, that's like not one takedown, not one? Nope.
I mean, did you get a takedown?
I did. I got him in, like, November.
Wow. Yeah.
But let me tell you. It was I probably got maybe like 5 takedowns that whole year, but I got the first one in November, and he promised me an ice cream cone, so I got my ice cream.
Who was the coach?
Man, it was after that it was war.
Who was the coach?
His name is Dave Hart. He's a couple times American from Penn State.
Really great, much better. Fry, did you have a similar, was your experience similar?
What's that?
Did you have a similar experience in practice, like just getting beat up when you first started?
Fighting practice or wrestling practice?
Both.
Yeah, both, absolutely. you know, in college, shit, those guys were all Americans in the ASU wrestling room, you know? And hell, they get wetted with my ass every day. Mm-hmm. And then and fight game, you know, I'm paying these guys, so they better be whooping my ass, because you're not going to improve if these guys aren't whooping your ass and can't beat you. You know, you'll never improve.
Now, when you fought the most dangerous man in the world, Ken Shamrock, how did you prepare for that? Who did you bring in to prepare for that fight?
Shit, buddy. I don't remember who I brought in, but, you know, like I said, I had my regulars, you know, Sam Sotelo, Reyna Martinez, Rich Moreno, Steve Owen was running the show, you know, and every once in a while, Dan Severn show up, whoop my ass just for the hell of it, you know, because he's in town and he's bored, you know, so, like, if you're not getting your ass whooped by your teammates, you know, by your sparring partners, you're not going to improve, but they can't whoop your ass and hurt you at the same time. You cannot get injured. They have to take the injury. If you're tied up going for a fall, they better, you know, they better turn to where you land on them. You know, they suffer the injury. Because if you get injured and you don't fight, nobody gets paid. Nobody.
Right. Yep.
Right. So also tonight, Linton Vassell, the guy you beat, right?
Yes.
Yes. He's fighting Hani Marcus.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah, I feel like Hani doesn't always show up at the big ones. Like, he beats all the guys that he should beat. But anybody that, like, is a challenge, he seems to sometimes doesn't show up. So we'll see on that one. Now, the fight Saturday night, UFC, you know, should be good. Figueroa Moreno. Who do we like in that fight? Phil Davis.
Who was the first name?
It's like
Figueredo. Yeah. Davison.
He's the guy that knocked out Benavidez, or he beat Benavidez twice. He's got that
Yes. Hair.
And
yep. And then I like that guy. I like him.
He's fighting Brandon Moreno.
Like Mighty Mouse, man. He's just this freaking Energizer Bunny. I mean, half the guys in the division are that way, but he is especially that way.
Yeah, but Brandon Moreno's a guy that came in on short notice, won his fight, got cut, came back, won his last two fights. He wants to be the first ever Mexican born champion, which is crazy because I can't believe there's never been a UFC Mexican born champion.
Well, he's not going to be.
How many Mexican champions have there been? There's only been like, Velasquez.
Yeah, but
Andy's American. American.
Born in America. They weren't born in Mexico.
I know. I mean, Mexican, American, Mexican. How many Mexican champions have Cejudo and Kane?
Kane, and then maybe Tony Ferguson, I guess, if you count him in.
Oh, yeah. My bad.
Tony Ferguson, sure. I think that he's bit off too much, more than he can chew. I think he's going to get mollywopped. I think it's not going to even be close. Because they're both good, but when you have a killer instinct and you're an Energizer Bunny, when you're like, or he's like, go, I think it's not going to be even.
But more importantly, so Phil, you live right by Tijuana. Back when you were single, any wild nights in Tijuana?
Man, not a one. Not a one.
Come on.
Right when I moved to San Diego, they were still wrapping up like some serious cartel wars.
Not one hooker. Not one hooker.
Not a one. Not a.
Not even Angela Magana. Does that count? Or no? I'm kidding. No. Don Fry, any wild nights in Mexico for you?
Yeah, but I can't remember them, so I can't talk about them.
That's what makes it a good time, when you can't remember it.
Yeah,
exactly.
I know the next day I didn't have any money in my pocket, you know?
Oh, I tell you what, Luke Rockhold and I, we went on this, it's called a wide open tour. Basically, we rented these trophy trucks, and we go from Ensenada to San Felipe. And it's just after you get off like the first mile and a half, there's no roads, all back roads, not back roads, like dirt, hard pack, soft pack, rocks. Like you're bouldering over stuff. It's crazy. Anyhow, so Luke is a little bit of a risk taker. Okay. Luke's crazy. Like you say that about young guys, obviously who are fighters, most guys are crazy, but Luke's extra crazy. He's extra crazy. Two scoops, you know what I'm saying? So we're going around this, we're going up this mountain, and Mike, like I said, we're in Mexico, okay? Mexico. There's like a 30-foot drop, no signs. You go around the turn, you got to make the turn tight, 30-foot drop on the other side. It's about a foot and a half extra space for your truck to make it. Luke, take this turn way too fast. Way too fast. So, right, I'm behind Luke. I come around the corner, and I see Luke's truck, and I swear on everything, it was exactly like every single movie that you have ever saw. Luke's truck was dangling off of this cliff. It was one of those. They were stuck in the truck because if they moved, the shit was going to flip. What?
Oh, my God.
Luke, man, I said, God, Luke, right? And I didn't have a winch on my truck, so we had to everybody had a radio. I had to radio the leader, tell him, because Luke couldn't even reach his radio because he didn't want to fall. I radioed the leader, tell him Luke is about to die. Come back, save us, right? and then I have to move. I had to leave because there's somebody behind me. And obviously he's going to come around this turn soon enough. And Luke's on one side dangling. I'm right on the other side. He has to thread the needle and gun it down this mountain. Like it was the craziest situation. They eventually got a winch and pulled Luke out before he died.
Wow.
And man, yo.
Luke yo. Was so smooth. I heard a story about Luke, how he slept with this really hot, famous celebrity. I'm not going to say her name. But he used to have sex with her in front of all her friends, right? Like they would like give him directions, like how how to have sex with him. Like, oh, she likes it harder. She likes that. I thought it was a pretty hot story, right? So I sit down next to Luke at the award show. I go, Luke, you got to tell me this story. I heard that you banged so-and-so in front of all her friends. Is this true? And he looks at me and he goes, not all her friends.
Oh my God. Wow.
Guy, yeah. So Luke is a
star. Luke is a wild dude.
He's yeah. That's why.
Yeah, come on. Only a 30-foot drop. Jeez Louise.
Yeah. Bunch of girls. Nothing.
Mr. I wasn't measuring. It could have been 80. It could have been 90.
Yeah, keep that sky. It could have been 10. Yeah, look at you. You go longer and longer, Grimey. One of those guys who measures his dick by imaginary feet, right? Come on.
Either you're gonna fall or you're not.
I don't think that Cole has to worry about measuring his dick for some reason. All right. So now Tony Ferguson versus Charles Oliveira. Now I like that Ferguson said if this guy misses weight, fights off. I fucking love that. Good for him. Ferguson said that.
Yeah.
And then
that's the wrestling that says that.
Yeah.
What happened?
So I guess Oliveira's missed weight before, and Tony said if he misses weight by any amount of weight, it fights off. He said that a couple days ago.
Yeah.
And then he had an interview yesterday where they said, "Hey, I heard that you were you didn't want to fight Michael Chandler, blah blah." And he was like, "Listen, motherfucker, that's not what happened."
Do you want me to play it? I think I can play it now.
He goes, "Get your fucking if you could play it real quick." He goes, "Get your fucking facts straight, right?" I mean, it was vintage Tony Ferguson.
Hold on, guys.
How much did he miss weight by?
He didn't yet. Before.
What?
He's missed weight by 4 or 5 pounds before, I believe.
4 or 5 pounds? You see, yeah. That's just, I used to laugh about that. Seriously, come on, guys. You know, there's no weight class when I fought. But the thing is, that's a complete lack of respect for your opponent, you know, because he's busting his ass shit for 8 weeks. You know, then the last fucking 8 hours, you know, is murder. You know, he's busting his ass to make weight, and you won't do it. You don't think enough about that guy, you know, to work extra hard to lose that weight. Fuck you, especially 8 pounds, you know. They should force you to go up in weight. That's all there is to it. You know, you can't do this anymore. You know, you gotta grow a set and go up to the next weight class.
I agree.
Hey, I really want to hear this clip, but afterwards, I got a date with the Apple Store. I got to get my phone fixed.
All right. Okay. No problem.
All right, here we go.
All right. Let's hear this clip.
Well, Chandler seemed to be interested in the fight. You didn't want to fight him. You accepted the fight with Oliveira, though. Can you?
Whoa, motherfucker! Check this out. Mm-hmm. UFC said that Chandler had a fight, and then Chandler said that he didn't have a fight. Somewhere along the line, somebody was fucking lying. I'm sitting here telling you, get your fucking facts straight.
That's why I'm asking.
No, that's why you're not asking. You're asking the wrong question. You're asking other people. Oliveira is the only game opponent that wanted to fight.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't want to fight. Poirier doesn't want to fight. McNuggets ran and Tiramisu's gone. Got these asses that were going to fucking like put this guy's over top of me and want to move me back on to number 5. It happened before.
Michael Chandler and Chandler.
That's it. All right,
so that's
beautiful, man. That's beautiful.
I like that. I respect that shit. No, for really. Yeah, yeah, man.
Phil Davis, thoughts?
You know, the real question is, I wonder who was lying in that situation. You know, like who? I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, obviously not. I don't know. I feel like I take Tony Ferguson at his word right there.
Tony would fight Chandler. He would absolutely
I think he would. Honestly, I believe that he would. You hate when these situations happen, but why didn't they offer him that fight, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Tony would fight all those guys in the same night if they, you know, I don't think he's talking to anybody.
Yeah, that's why. But do you think Tony got, I mean, he's fighting a beast if he makes weight.
Sometimes they tell one guy, this guy doesn't want to fight you, or he wants to fight you. And then he said, like, they do that to get a fight going.
Yeah.
So I think it's a game of like,
yeah.
Sort of like, oh, you know, that's what I've heard from fighters before that happened. So, like, they tell people this guy doesn't want to fight, he wants to fight. Not necessarily the case, kind of. But I just like the fact that, like, Tony didn't let that reporter, probably a good reporter, but he said, listen, no, don't start the sentence with, you didn't want to fight this guy. Like, well, hold up, motherfucker. Like, let's not get that idea. Like, he was like, no, let's get our facts straight. Because I think other fighters were let that slide.
Well, Tony's a kind of crazy, too. You gotta add in his crazy. I hope he's not listening. I hope if I don't run into him. But I'm just telling you.
Yeah. I'm recording this. I'm going to send it to Tony right now.
Yeah, don't send it to Tony. But no, I just feel like he seemed like kind of dude that's like, hey, who wants it, you can get it. I just really – I've seen him. And even when you watch him fight, it just seems like – even when he's bloodied, it just keeps going, bro. So yeah. I don't see him ever acting like that.
Nah, I don't see that. El Queen.
Listen, Phil, go to the Apple store. I love you.
All right. All right, hey, I'm sending you a photo. I took a photo of my other phone.
Okay.
You should see this. I'll send it to you. All right, peace.
All right, man.
Bye-bye.
No, let me ask you this, Adam. Do you think that in this fight, because he's fighting somebody that's top-notch without question, but he's so unorthodox and he's so unpredictable, don't you think he's got the edge?
You know what? I mean, look, before – the last fight, people were saying Tony Ferguson was going to beat Khabib, that he's the greatest fighter out there, you know. And I think people are so quick to jump off a fighter's dick because he lost a fight, he had a bad night. So I think that he's going to have the advantage of Sean Oliveira, but because he's looked a lot better. He won like 15 out of 16 fights. I think with him, it's mental. It's how he's dealing with the quarantine. Is he training? Is he, you know, is his how's his marriage going? There's all kinds of other factors, you know.
Right.
But I think that if Tony, when Tony has his life together as it could be, he could beat anybody, including Justin Gaethje. So.
Oh yeah, no. A couple of times he was rocking Gaethje, but
he dropped him with the uppercut at the end of the round.
Oh, Bean, you are so right. That shit looked like it would have been over. I thought it was over. I really did. I thought as soon as you saw the uppercut, I thought, oh fuck, he's done.
Yep.
So if anything, you give props to Gaethje, because the Gaethje to take a fucking hit like that, like I watched the slow motion, you see just spit and blood and his whole head just cocked back. I thought, oh, it's fucking rap.
But that's oh, man. Also, it's like now everybody's off Gaethje's dick because of the Khabib fight. You know, I think that you have to look at like their last two or three fights versus their last fight.
You're right. Don, no bullshit, I mean, right there.
Don, are you there or no?
Yeah, I'm here, partner.
No, I'm saying, do you agree with that statement?
I couldn't hear what you said.
I said that I think what? That a lot of times you have to look at the guy's last two or three fights versus their last fight to see if.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know, you can't judge anybody, but that's the thing. You're only as good as your last fight. You know. That's how you're judged. That's exactly how you're judged.
Yeah, and I think that that's like wrong, because a guy could literally just have a bad night. A guy could have food poisoning. A guy could have this. A guy could have that.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Well, the thing is, you know, we used to fight hurt, you know, just from wrestling. You just take that mindset with you, you know. Yeah. It's time to, you've been working your ass off for 6, 8 weeks, 12 weeks, you know. And it's time to fight. And if you're hurt, you just tape it up, wipe it off, and go in there, you know, criminy.
Yeah.
You just try and alter your game plan somehow to where you can, you know, work on your best leg is your bad leg.
What was the most hurt you've ever been going into a fight?
Oh, fuck. I had it when my back was crushing my spinal cord, and it was operating at 10%. So I had, you know, still have my right leg is still like 10 inches smaller than my left leg, you know, not shorter, but just smaller. And I lost my quad, you know, I don't have a quad and all that good shit. You know, I used to have a nice ass, so now I don't have an ass anymore. You know? But well, you know, I had that first fight back against who did I fight? Gilbert Ivel, you know, I had pulled my adductor and strained my on the right side and strained my groin on the left. And then I took him down and boom, the adductor exploded and it tore, you know? So I was fighting with the torn adductor and then a pulled groin, you know? But I had done that. I had a bad shoulder for years, you know? I mean, you can't sit around and concentrate on them and mark them up and say, look, I can't fight. I got this. If that was the case, you'd never fight.
Right.
Right. Now, was that the fight where Ivo tried to take your eyes out?
Oh, that was just an accident. It was an accident. He didn't, you know, what? he thought I said, you know, keep an eye out. You know, I said, I'll keep an eye out. I thought you said take an eye out.
No, didn't he get suspended? Didn't he get disqualified for that?
Yeah. He was hanging on the ropes and he was gouging my eyes. Yeah, he had the right lens had three scratches in it, and the left one was just scratched up, but not bad, you know. But
so how pissed were you? I mean, you must have been furious.
Oh, I was. You know, I couldn't do anything about it. I couldn't see and I couldn't walk. So just a fucking blind doormat, you know. So.
I mean, you know, after the fight, I know you got the win and you got your money. But you can't see and your eyes, you go right to the hospital after that? Or do you go to the locker room?
No, fuck no. They healed up in like 4 or 5 or 6 days. I mean, the eye heals really quickly, you know, so you just take that into consideration. You know, it's a fight, for God's sake. You're going to get hurt.
Yeah, but his fingers were like in your eye.
Yeah.
You were worried about possibly like losing your eyesight or going blind?
I had another one, didn't I? I wouldn't go completely blind.
I mean, so this is in Japan, right?
What?
That was in Japan, right?
Yeah, it was in Japan a couple weeks after 9/11. Yeah.
So they didn't tell you, hey, we should go to the hospital to make sure that your eyes are still going to work, or at least one of them will?
No, I get that. No, hell no. You know, I mean, if that was the case, it would have looked bad on Gilbert, you know? And I've had my eye injured before. I knew it wasn't bad. You know, Jesus, you wrestle. You hurt everything eventually, you know?
I've never had a guy personally try to stick his fingers in my eyes while I was trying.
Where did he try to stick his finger at then?
I mean, Chang, you don't think this is kind of crazy at all, what Don said?
No, I think that, but I mean, if you're wrestling and you're fighting, you're in a fight, you would think, oh, okay, I might get gouged in the eye. So no, I would factor that in.
I got disqualified for repeating.
No, yeah, I still would. I would factor it in. I would never put it past. I would factor it in and go, you know what? Fuck it. I might get
gouged. But you don't think Don's crazy for not going to the hospital or getting his eye checked out?
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. That, for sure. No. But no, I think that if you go in with the mentality like, fuck it, it's a fight, probably going to get scraped up. Probably going to get
gone. I just think that Don's reaction of just like, fuck it, I have another eye that works.
He probably went and had a beer.
It's insane.
Yeah. What are they going to do? You go to the ER, they look at it and they say, well, go see an optologist on Monday. You know, here's some ice, you know, that's all it's going to be done.
Now afterwards, right. Do you feel good about winning by disqualification or do you not care? Would you rather have knocked them out?
Oh, I'd rather knock him out, but it wasn't going to happen the way I was feeling, you know, with that leg. But shit, I was happy to get the win, criminy, and I was happy to still be able to see. I was pissed that they fined him and they did not give me the money. You know, they kept the fucking money.
Yeah, that's
you bullshit. See, that was bullshit. You know, I mean, if you don't make weight. You know, the fine should go to the other guy. You know, if guy tries to scratch your eyes out, the fine should go to the other guy. You know, not to the goddamn fight company. Not, you know, why do they get the money when I'm getting the injury? You know, or the insult?
Yeah, then they should get their eyes scratched. If they're going to get the money, then you should gouge their fucking eyes.
Now, somebody told me that did you ever take a drug test for pride?
Yeah, yeah. All the time, you'd piss in a cup, you know? And then you'd watch them go to the bathroom and dump it down the toilet.
So somebody said that they would test you but not give you the results unless you wanted to leave the organization. And they could say, okay, you'll leave, but then we're going to say that you failed 6 drug tests. Is that true?
I don't know about that, partner, but, you know, I would believe anything, you know. And also nothing, you know. I mean, after my first divorce, this is going off on a tangent, you know, but psychologically, I believed everything somebody told me, you know. Then after my second divorce, I didn't believe anything anybody told me, you know. And things like that happened in the fight game, you know, because the fight game, it's like a microcosm of life. You have your ups and your downs during training, and then you have the big orgasmic fight, you know, and it's either a good one or a bad one, you know.
Right. No, 1,000%, man. I mean, well, look, you've had you're everybody's favorite fighter. Everybody, like 9 out of 10 people I meet were like, who's your better all the time? They all say Don Fry.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Don, thank you, please.
I don't think that you realize it. You're a very humble guy. I know sometimes you like play the character, but you're a very humble guy. I mean, awesome, yeah. So this week, Jacare Souza is taking on Kevin Holland. I was picking Jacare all week. Now I'm starting to figure Kevin Holland.
Are you serious? Are you really picking Kevin?
Yeah, I don't know.
No, Jacare's a vet. I think Jacare still, I still think Jacare, and they're trying to say because of his age. I even posted about that. That got shit to do with it. I think that Kevin's going to be in for a rude awakening. And I like him, but Jacare's a monster. Still a monster.
Don, who wins this fight?
Yeah, Jacare, you know, he's a killer, you know. He's like, a serial killer, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I think that he's still got hands, and his jiu-jitsu is still fucking beast mode, and I don't think Kevin's ready for that. I don't think Kevin is ready for somebody, if they go to the ground, that will have that level.
Yeah, I just think that Kevin's going to keep it standing. Might hurt him. Jacare is kind of slow, a little long of the tooth. Kevin's won like 10 out of his last 11 fights. I'm changing my pick. Kevin Holland. By the way, the real serial killer, the scariest person I've ever hung out with is Josh Barnett. That dude's eyes are just like...
Helter Skelter.
Oh, my God. That he might have like 37 bodies in his backyard.
Oh, no. When I met him, I just thought, don't make any sudden movements. I just...
He's just like that dude.
He ain't all there, is he?
No, no. I fucking love him.
He's a really nice guy. But you're right. There's something in the eyes. He ain't all there.
No. Yeah.
And like, who was that prick? Helter Skelter. Who was that prick?
Charles Manson?
Charles Manson.
Charles Manson.
Yeah.
He had Charles Manson eyes. Yes.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
He reminds me of like Dexter. If Dexter was a real person.
Dexter, oh, from the show, the serial killer. Yeah, yeah, no, I met him, and I just in Vegas, and I just thought, I don't even want to move the wrong way because it might set him off and go. Yeah, it was scary, man. But I think that if you look at right now, the people that are fighting, there's a couple people that are like that are still have that like, oh shit, they could really be killing people. They probably got some human heads in their fucking freezer.
You're right, Chang. 100%.
Not gonna eat at their house. You're gonna call takeout.
Exactly, because they probably are cooking up somebody. But there's a couple fighters that are like that. But right now, it seems like a lot of the fighters are what you should fight for the money, absolutely. But I'm gonna tell you right now, more money moves than ever before. Like some people, like unless I'm getting this, I'm not fighting that guy. And before, it just seemed like, fuck it, I'll fight anybody. You know, you know, back in the day, I just felt like if you're going to fight somebody, you should just be like, well, fuck it, let's go. But now it's like, yeah, but I don't know. It,
yeah, there's too many people picking and choosing.
Yeah, picking and choosing. Yeah, yeah, that's exactly right.
All right, before we...
Yeah, but the thing is, the other aspect of that is there's, you have a very small window of opportunity while you're a fighter. So, you know, you have just a couple of years, I guess, like being an NFL lineman, you know, the average is, what, 2 or 3 years. And a lot of fighters don't even last that long, you know. So you have a very small window of opportunity. So you, if they're waving some money over your fucking nose, take it, you know.
All right, speaking of which, before we leave, so word is that, you know, Yoel Romero got cut from the UFC. Now they're saying he might fight Tito Ortiz in Combate. Don, is this a good idea?
For Tito, it is. Yeah, absolutely.
Why?
Because he gets some money. You know, he gets some money.
Yeah, people will pay, pay to see that.
Yeah. I don't think. Well, I'm sorry. What's his name?
Yoel Romero.
Yeah, Yoel Romero. He was great, you know, 7 or 10 years ago, but he's just lost it. He don't give a shit anymore, I don't think, you know?
So you think Tito can win?
Yeah, I think Tito can win, yeah. Tito's got the intelligence, you know? You know, comes a time in the fighter's career where everything becomes mental, you know? You've survived so much through the physical fighting that, you know, you can go in there and say, you know, I'm going to win tonight, or I'm going to lose tonight. I don't feel like fighting. You know, I'm just not getting paid enough, you know, blah, blah, blah. And you get put in a bad situation, then you just tap, you know, because you're not getting the money that you used to get, and it's not worth the possibility of an injury.
Did that happen to you at all, or no?
Yeah, it happened to me. Yeah, I hate to admit it, but yeah, it happened to me. Yeah.
Now, when you watched the Tyson fight, did you get inspired to get back in there?
No, I didn't see it. I wasn't feeling worth a shit that night, so I couldn't go down to my friends and watch it. So I'm laying in bed feeling sorry for myself.
Well, Tyson looked pretty good, man. He looked great, and now he's going to fight Holyfield, they're saying. So
that's scary, man. That's scary, you know, because there's no love between either one of those guys, I don't think, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it should be good.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, there's no exhibition involved in that fight, you know. those guys don't come to you know, knock each other's heart out, you know.
Right.
What are your thoughts on Logan Paul versus Mayweather?
I never heard of Logan Paul.
He's this YouTube star that like has millions and millions of followers. He's 0-1 as a fighter. He's a big personality. He's 200 pounds. He wrestled in high school. He took fifth in the state of Ohio, but he's not a boxer. I mean, he just started boxing, and now he's going to fight Floyd Mayweather in February for $50
For how much?
$50 to watch it. He's probably going to get about 10 million, probably. I mean, guessing.
Oh shit. I want to fight Mayweather for $10 million. or the other idiot. Yeah, the heavy idiot challenged me. Shit.
I think he's going to get his ass kicked, but then he can go buy a Porsche. I mean.
Yeah. Porsche. I mean, how many people get to brag they got their ass whooped by Mayweather? You know, crime. I mean, every guy who fought him, yeah. But, I mean, they fought him for real.
Yeah, that's true. It's true.
Well, Adam, you said you think he's just going to – he doesn't have a chance in hell.
No, because one guy's a pro and one guy's not. One guy's not only a pro, he's the best ever to do it, or one of the best ever to do it. And I just think there's levels to the shit. I mean, think about how many training camps Mayweather's had to fight, like, De La Hoya or fight Diego Corrales or fight Manny Pacquiao. Now you're taking a kid that, like, is this too much time? Not enough time in the world and talent.
For the real win. I'm over.
What?
The real winner of the fight is going to be the guy who picks under, over, over, under, whatever it is. You know,
yeah.
Picks the round, you know, the time, and yeah. and the weapon, you know, the uppercut or the hook or what it is, you know. So I mean, if you could pick that, you're going to be rolling in money. Jeez.
I mean, to me, I mean, think about it, Shang. It's like saying, like, okay, you know, I started playing basketball and I'm like pretty decent. Am I going to beat LeBron James 1-on-1? Like, no. Like,
no, I got you. I know. I just think that, but yeah, if you're going to get $10 million, fuck it.
If you're going to get $1 million, you get $500,000. For $20,000, I get in the fucking ring with Mayweather. You know? Like, I mean,
yeah, I mean, for that kind of money, I get it, but I just feel like you said he's just going to walk through him. I just think that this kid is still 50 pounds heavier than him.
You got to hit him. It doesn't matter. I mean, it's like
he'll never hit Mayweather. You know, there's a bet right there. I mean, will he get close? You know, he won't hit him once.
I think he won't hit Mayweather once. I think in some ways the weight's going to be a disadvantage because he's going to be slower. You know.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't think of that. I just thought, end of the day, it's a money grab, and I know Floyd Mayweather usually gets like $75 million, $100 million,
which is ridiculous.
No, that's true. No,
it's so crazy.
They said that the Pacquiao fight, he walked out $200 million.
I mean, here's what he might have going for him: that he's not a real professional fighter, so he may just fight him like a fucking maniac, like a wrestler would. And just like do all kinds of like roughing him up and throwing him around the ring, or just being sort of like how like McGregor did, where he's so unorthodox that he might do okay because he's got no shot going skill for skill. But even that's going to last you maybe a minute out of the fight that might actually help you.
I'd absolutely let him punch me in the head 50, 60 times for that much money. Oh, fuck yeah. It. Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, you'd probably let him blow you for. Probably, anyway, listen, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you guys so much. You guys,
yeah, for sure, man.
Thank you, Shang. Thank you, Weenie.
Nice to meet you, partner.
All right, man.
Take care, brother.
Nice to meet you.